This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Phenomenal night. Is it exhausting to anybody else? Because at the end of that game, man, I feel like we as fans all went through it together. Love it. If you guys, I love you guys chiming in on my stuff throughout the game too. If you want to follow me at Hull Show, I'm trying to tweet as much as I possibly can. I suck at live tweeting though, Angel, because my eyeballs have to come off the screen and focus on the typing on the cellular device. It's difficult for me, but we're trying anyway. Big dub for the Nuggets. Let's break into it. I'm going to start with Jamal Murray. And Angel, isn't that Jamal Murray? I mean, this is the guy we've been talking about for how many years on this show specifically? I do think he has flashes of Kobe Bryant. I honestly, when he's at his best, he looks like Kobe Bryant. But he disappears, and he's done that his entire career. But the best part about this guy is no matter how down he gets, he's still going to show up. And it's just part of this team. It's part of the DNA that is built within this basketball team.
Yeah, you know, you talk about the playoff mode commercial that's on there. You don't see Jamal Murray, and he's probably the epitome of a guy that shows up in the playoffs. He averages almost 7 more points per game in the playoffs. He loves these big moments. And, yeah, that game was kind of the epitome of his career, as you said, where he's struggling in the first half to make shots, second half turns it on, and then goes into clutch mode late in the game.
I mean, okay, so the last sequence was insanity. I mean, Jamal goes up late, ends up turning it over. LeBron sprints down, gets the dunk, and you're thinking, uh-oh, trouble for Denver. Porter comes down, and I'm going to talk about Porter in a moment, hits that key three, And then to tie the game, or what was that? To tie it? Was that to tie it at that point, or was that?
Yeah, so LeBron gets the dunk. Jokic goes down and tries to get a foul on the three-point shot.
Yes.
Misses completely. Gordon is under the basket, grabs the rebound, somehow gets it to Porter. He hits a three. Incredible clutch shot from him. Ties the game at 97.
Yeah, and then I think Lakers score again, right?
Lakers score again.
Then
Murray
Jamal
goes
scores
down.
The next four.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jamal
nice little
comes
mid-range on AD, and then LeBron, maybe a push-off three. Oh, he's going to – oh, he missed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Porter got the rebound on that one,
he
too,
did.
Right? Let's talk about Michael Porter Jr. And, again, there's so many bullet points in this one, and we're going to be talking Nuggets-Lakers throughout the day today also. I'm so impressed with this guy for so many reasons. I've been critical of MPJ. There's a lot of people that have been critical of MPJ. And not to say that that wasn't warranted, that wasn't deserved. But what he's obviously going through on the personal side, for him to even show up, is awesome. It's huge. And then to contribute the way he did, 22 points, 9 boards for him. But it was, again, it was his three-point shooting that kept this game from turning into a massive blowout. You know, obviously the Lakers get up 20, and that was as far as they went. But if it wasn't for Porter hitting critical shots in pretty significant moments of the game where it felt like, the Lakers are either going to ramp this up 20-plus, or when the Nuggets cut it to 15, you thought, the Lakers are going to get it back to 20, Porter would hit key shots. And I kept saying it at halftime. I said, okay, here's mission one. You got to get this game within 10. If you get it within 10, by the time the fourth starts, this is a wide-open ball game, because we've seen this with this Nuggets team. They barely get there. They do. Controversial end to the third period, and we'll talk about that. But Porter was the glue in this game. No question about it. You might be right, Angel. I might give you that one. No, we were doing predictions for who's going to be the MVP. And Joker did his thing. He had a triple-double, 20 boards, 27 points, 10 assists. And obviously Murray with the Murray flurry, with the Murray magic in the fourth period. But I do think that if we're giving out game balls for last night, we're going to go Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, you talk about obviously the stuff going on with his personal life. Even this season, playing a full 81 games, first time he's played that many games, and he's healthy, he's confident, his shot is better than ever. And even before, early in his career, and I'm a huge MPJ fan, I used to like cringe when he would take those like contested three-pointers, because it's like, oh, I know that's your shot, but just stop doing that. Now, please get the ball to Mike. Let him shoot, because he is going to knock it down. What was he, 60% from three-point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's incredible.
He has a strength, you know. Come on. Who was the other guy on the call last night? It was Reggie Miller. Who was the other? Crawford. Jamal Crawford.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's talking about Anthony. And he wasn't wrong, but he kept saying Anthony Davis is at peace with his game right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's in flow. I thought that was Michael Porter Jr. I mean, I've seen it. There's a calmness that has come over him. And I know he's a man of faith, too. So that's probably been something that's really driving him. He talks about the team being his family and everything. But you can see a change. I don't know if I want to say a maturity, because that's almost insinuating that he wasn't mature before that. But there is a certain calmness that just seems to come over this guy the last couple of games.
Yeah, and he's not a very, you know, he's not a super emotional player on the floor. Like, he hits that three and he, like, flexes a little bit for, like, 2 seconds. And
yep.
Then he's back on defense, ready to go for the next play. Getting all of his rebounds were defensive rebounds. That's huge for him.
Yeah, no, it was huge. It was big players make big plays in big moments, and that's what the Nuggets needed to do. All right, let's talk about the end of the third. LeBron James, very critical. Everybody's talking about it. The call, it was called a foul on the floor, right? Michael Porter Jr. swipes it. D'Angelo Russell gets him on the face. The officials go back to review it, and they don't. They overturned it, right? They go back, they overturn. Is that how it went? They did actually call the foul.
They did, and then they
overturned. And then they overturned it and said it was minimal contact. Was it a foul? Yeah, probably was a foul, you know, but it was the end of the third and you still have the lead. And I know momentum and all that stuff, but it was a foul. They overturned it. Here's LeBron James at the end of the game talking about that call.
I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year or whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f*** do we have a replay center if it's going to go... It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me.
I get it. and it should, but that's like the main thing he focused on. And that was the end of the third. You guys had a 20-point lead in this game. How about the collapse? How about going away from everything that was working, but instead, you know, LeBron's focusing on that. Anthony Davis was upset. He was asked about Jamal Murray's game winner, and here's what Davis, short and sweet, had to say about that. Oh, I don't know. Oh, I thought, okay. He just, you know, he made a shot, and that was it. He made a shot. They were upset, and listen, I know I'm a Laker hater. I'm all in on the Nuggets-Lakers rivalry, and I am loving this absolutely because the Nuggets have been beat up by the Lakers so long, but I don't know. You just hear these guys talk, and it just sounds like such sour grapes.
Jamal Murray made a shot.
Yes, he did.
Those mics aren't cheap.
No, man. I mean, well, and Joker broke one too, in fairness, but, you know, he didn't understand what was going on with that mic stand. I'm not saying they shouldn't be able to complain if there's a call like that. It was a significant call. But, Angel, I mean, the Lakers have shot more free throws than anybody the last 2 years?
Yes.
I mean, it's hard to, and I'm not just being Nuggets guy. I'm trying not to be. But they've been given calls all the time, dude. There was a lot of that going on last night.
Yeah, and I cut it off a little early on the LeBron thing, but he went on to talk about, he said, oh, I just went and saw what happened to the Sixers and what's going on. So, like, post-game locker room, you're going on your phone to check out what happened in the other games around you in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
So you can have a talking point to be the GM or the commissioner, whoever he's trying to be.
This is my problem with, and Flying Dutch was texting in, I know you think that I hate LeBron. Here's my deal with LeBron. He's an amazing player. I wish the antics would go away. And, you know, again, in the first, he jams his finger and he's like jumping up and down. He stuffs the finger into his gut like he's trying to put his finger back in. What he's doing right there, guys, he's trying to set up a dramatic effect. He's trying to make it seem like LeBron broke his finger and snapped it back in place and still finished the game. He's doing that. That's
Didn't
why
Kobe do that?
I mean, there's times when LeBron, I remember when he played for Cleveland, he would get hurt and they had to carry him off the court, and then he comes back out 5 seconds later. I'm like, wait, if you were that hurt where you had to be carried off the floor, there's no way you should be healthy enough to come back out like 5 minutes later.
Or when he falls into a camera person and cuts his forehead, and it's, oh, he's on the ground for 20 minutes. And no, or let me go grab this camera from another person and complain to the ref against Boston.
Like, and you remember when he lost his mind last year on a call. He's jumping up and down. He's on the floor. He's looking up at the ref. It's just those antics that drive me nuts. The other stuff, even the complaining about the officials at the end, it doesn't bother me as much. But when you pair that with everything that he does, it's annoying. Flying Dutchman says, if Michael Jordan hurt his finger and it really wasn't hurt, you would think it was a brilliant mind tactic. Did Jordan flail like that all the time? I don't recall that. I'm just asking because I don't recall.
I mean, unless Detroit was punching him in the paint, I don't know.
He was like punched in the paint and stuff. I don't remember seeing Jordan do that. I don't remember seeing a lot of great players act the way that LeBron does. It's just a fact, guys. LeBron flails. He goes for the drama. He embellishes that, which is so, honestly, it hurts him because he is one of the greatest to ever do it. But the antics that he brings up, going and looking at the post game of the Knicks Sixers game, so he can have more fuel for what he's about to talk about. It's just why are you paying attention to another game 5 seconds after your game? You know, those are the things that bother me. Texter here, Christian Brown and Watson contributions were key. Watson not much on the stat sheet, but his plus minus was plus 11, highest on the team. Well, and I mean, yeah, the bench, like if you just want to look at the numbers off the bench, They're not sexy. I mean, you go, Christian Brown had 10 points and Watson had 2. But those were, I mean, a lot of those were just critical plays that they were coming up with.
Yeah, and those two guys, you got to give them credit because who they're playing defense against, LeBron James and sometimes Anthony Davis, these are two young guys. They're only in their second years and they're in the playoffs. They could have rested on the, oh, I've won a championship last year. Maybe I was a part of it. Maybe I wasn't. But now this is my chance to really show up. And if the Nuggets move on to the next series, I expect them to get even more performance and even bigger stats in those games.
And I just want to clear, I love Christian Brown. I was making the Zach Wilson comparisons because they look the same. Do they not look like the same human being? And that's a compliment. They're both good-looking dudes. There's nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
But Christian Brown was good. You could see his drive, man. I mean, oh, I got to talk about the play, Angel. With Joker, shot clock's going down. He knows he's not going to get a good shot up. Was that in the fourth?
That was like the second.
Was it the second?
Yeah, it was the first half.
All right, well, he just throws it at the bottom of the rim, knowing he needs to, the ball needs to make contact with the rim so that the shot clock will reset. And then Christian Brown, he sees him there, grabs the ball. And Reggie Miller, I was giving him crap last night. I love that he said, hey, Joker should get an assist for that play. That was one of the smarter basketball plays I've seen in a while.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about Jokic's IQ on the floor. It feels just like he has a computer in the back of his head that is just constantly scanning where his teammates are. Okay, shot clock doesn't need to be a three. It could have been a step back fadeaway like he hit last year, but right off the front of the rim, Christian's right there to get the put back, and it's a good play.
Let's talk more Nuggets Lakers. Big Hub saying, I'm riding with the Nuggets, but I expect the Lakers to win game three. Angel, here's the tough part. You're up 20. The Lakers probably played their best half of basketball this year, and you lose the game. That is very tough to come back from, and we'll see if they can rebound. I was impressed with a lot of their adjustments that they made in that first half, but the Nuggets did what I was very worried to start that third period out when I think Denver goes down and gets a quick two. What was it at halftime? Was it a 16-point game or a 15-point game? Anthony Davis just keeps answering the quick twos with and one opportunities.
It was 59-44.
Okay, so it was a crucial first 5 minutes, and the first four possessions were yeesh. I mean, Denver scored, but Anthony Davis was doing his thing, man. And then after that, he slowed down. He disappeared. That's what Anthony Davis does. 22 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. Steve Smiley's going to join me, UNC head basketball coach. I'll talk a little hoops with him. They got a big get in the transfer portal. Quinn Denker joins the UNC Bears, a transfer from Idaho. So Coach is going to talk to us about those players, his upcoming camp, and everything. Coach Steve Smiley at the bottom of the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Colorado presents Nuggets and Avalanche games on KFKA. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, do you feel like that was the Lakers' best punch? The last two games, I mean, you have two first halves of basketball now where the Lakers were the better team. I don't think we've seen, I know we haven't seen a complete Nuggets basketball game yet, and yet they are 2-0. Was that their best punch, and it's demoralizing to lose that way? Or do you see it on the reverse? Do they come out fired up saying, hey, we were up 20 on this team, we know we can beat them, we just fell apart at the end. Bad coaching, I thought. Just bad play calls. They got away from the two-man game of LeBron and Davis when that was clearly working and something changed. So how do you view it? Are you concerned about Game 3, or do you think, no, that was it, the Lakers are toast?
It's still a series at this point. You know, until you win a game on the road, it still realistically is a series. I think the way these two teams match up, the best two players on either team about cancel each other out. It's about the role players. It's about MPJ, KCP, and Aaron Gordon versus Rui, Reeves, and Russell. Russell had a great game last night.
He responded in a way
that you would want to see a player go. But Austin Reeves, 1-for-5, 4-for-11 for 9 points. Rui Hachimura, 1-for-7 for 3 points.
Here's what is interesting here. Anthony Davis had 32 points, and most of that work was done first half, chunk of the third.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say a stud player shouldn't take over a game, especially when everything's going in. But there is a negative to that. There's a negative to one guy just taking over, and every time down the floor, give me the ball, I'm going to go score. You're not getting other guys involved. And that's why Joker, we applaud him so much, because he will go games where he doesn't take a shot until late in the first quarter, sometimes not even in the second. We've seen games where he's only taken one shot. Was that last year against the Pelicans?
Mm-hmm.
He took just one shot, and I think it was a game winner. Or there was a couple of times where it was like, that's it. He was 9 of 16 last night, Joker was. Davis was 14 of 19. It's not that big of a discrepancy. But again, most of that was in the first half. And so you're not getting the Ruiz going. You're not getting the Austin Reeves going. And so, I mean, you're not going to knock a star player for taking over a basketball game, but that is the flip side to that. So I predicted a sweep, Angel. I'm not going to come off of that. I feel like the Nuggets will win game three. The Lakers, that game last night, man, they were ready to go. They were pumped. How do they handle themselves at home? All the altitude talk was hitting the national media yesterday. My goodness. You know, what? They just create different narratives. As soon as the Nuggets get over one hurdle or climb over one mountain, they just create another one in front of them. It's so hilarious.
Yeah, and it does remind me a lot of last year in the Western Conference Finals when you win the first two at home, you go into game three. It's like, okay, can we wrap up this series? Can they actually pull off the sweep? If you go win game three against this Lakers team in their place,
it is over.
It's wrapped.
Statistically, it's over.
Right.
So we'll see how that one goes. We got plenty of that coming up. Also, what are the Avs going to do with the goalie situation? We'll discuss that throughout the program today as well. Big one for them tonight. Can they put themselves right back in this series with a big win against Winnipeg tonight? Coming up next, UNC head basketball coach Steve Smiley going to join us. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination, and we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado, there's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Mike Rice, voice of UNC Basketball, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Kind of going all things basketball today. Nothing wrong with that. Who better to talk basketball with than head basketball coach for the UNC Bears, great friend of mine, Steve Smiley. Coach, thanks so much for jumping on board today.
Yeah, what's going on, Brady? How you doing?
I stayed up way too late last night, Coach, watching that Nuggets game. That was absolutely nuts.
You know what? Let's talk Nuggets real quick. I mean, I'm a big fan, but I'm embarrassed to say that, you know, when we were down 20 and it had been a long day of chasing kids in the portal and chasing my own kids, I guess, I kind of just shut it down to hang out with my wife for a little bit. And when I woke up this morning and saw that Murray hit the shot, I was like, man, I mean, if we're going to be able to win that game right there, like, we're looking pretty good. So, all good news, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, and nobody blames you, Coach. I mean, you got a lot going on. I've always said this to you, and I mean, I don't know how you keep up. I don't know how you do it, you know, with transfer portal stuff, guys coming and going, recruiting, all of it, and then preparing your team for next season, too. So, I mean, yeah, I think listeners are going to give you a pass on that one, Coach, so you're good.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that, Pat. It's been been a little different the last couple of years with, you know, just trying to rebuild these teams and these rosters, and it's just, you know, it's the same for everybody. I mean, you know, whether you go up and down the front range with all of our different schools, we've all had different, additions, subtractions, things like that. So it's just a totally different model right now, so we just got to figure it out. But I'm glad that I get the pass because I was tired, and I'll give you one good stat that you'll like. So my birthday was April 1st. We have it in our calendar on May 3rd, 33 days later, to celebrate my birthday as a family. And that's not just because of the portal. That's because my kids are all over the place chasing their, you know, their club sport dreams too. But 33 days before we could find some time to celebrate my April Fool's Day birthday. So it's all bad up here, man.
Well, happy late birthday to you, my friend. Yeah. And again, you know, you had, it was such a fun year overall for this team. I know it didn't end exactly how you wanted it to, but your family, everything for you guys. I mean, it was overall, it was a very successful year for the Smiley household.
Yeah, no, appreciate that. I thought, you know, with the Bears, it was great, you know. It's just hard, man, when you get to, we were 19-12 and the 2 seed going into the Big Sky tournament. Felt great about it. You know, the game before ours in Boise, we watched Eastern Washington, the number 1 seed, which was really the one team that we had a lot of difficulty with matching up with. I mean, I think we could have beat them, but, you know, they swept us, and we watched them get beat by the 10 seed. And so you're sitting there, okay, 1 seed's gone. The one team we really had trouble with's gone, and let's go get this thing. And then same thing happened to us. We just didn't play good, and Idaho State played really good, and our Big Sky dreams were dashed. And so it's just so hard. You know, you look at it, you look like in our league too, Montana State, which had a losing record, right, going into the Big Sky tournament, but they went dancing. It's like, well, what would you rather have? You'd rather have dancing, right? But at the same point in time, you go through really having a losing season, but you have that glory at the end of it where all the rest of us that, you know, the ones had a good season, but we came up short. So it's just a really weird deal. But I do appreciate it. It was definitely a good year for sure.
That's the tough part about the way in the Big Sky Conference too, Coach. I mean, you could theoretically go undefeated. You could win every single game, but if guys aren't hitting shots, whatever, we see that it's basketball. You could be out just like that. How do you? Yep. What are your thoughts while we have you here on that structure? Because I've always struggled with it because it's like, man, you could be doing everything the right way in the regular season, and an injury could happen. A guy can get sick. I mean, who knows? And then you're out.
It's just the, you know, the way the world works at this level. I mean, there's just no way around it. It's going to be a one bid league. Really, the last 2 years, Eastern Washington in our league experienced that. They won our league by 3 games this year, and they won it by about 2 or 3 the year before. They got beaten the first round both times in the Big Sky tournament. And you're just not going to go to March Madness coming from the Big Sky if you don't win the whole thing. And it's just the way of the world. So, you know, there's so many different ways to try to get a better, you know, net ranking and play quad 1 games. But at the end of the day, it's a one bid league. And I don't know. I think you have to come to terms with it. I've always been a big proponent, and we did it this year, that, hey, if you get a chance to play in the postseason, if you can get it done and afford to do it, you should do it. And so that's like why we played that CBI, because, you know, you have a great year and you want to keep it moving forward. That's why we do things like that. And obviously you'd rather go to March Madness, but I really think that, you know, postseason is a big deal. And so if you get the chance to do it, you try to do it, I guess.
UNC head basketball coach Steve Smiley joining us. Coach, let me ask you this about, obviously, Dalton Connect was one of the most talked about basketball players in the country this year. And then we see the news to start the week, St. Thomas transferring to USC. What has that done for your program? Because I know it's one of those things where, because you and I have talked about this, you're like, hey, that's the nature of the business now. But at the same time, it's like, here you are, here's your staff going out and finding these guys that were not performing at that level until they came to UNC. How has that helped your program overall?
Yeah, I think that's a key phrase, helped, you know, because everyone wants to talk about the negative side of it, which I understand. It's like, well, you know, I mean, Dalton was here, and now he's going to be an NBA guy, but he wasn't here last year. It's like, hey, that's just the way it is. And the same thing with Saint. The now Saint's at USC, but he might not be. He might be able to stick in that NBA draft.
Yeah.
He's chasing that deal. And I just think Saint's really good, and I think, you know, I think he's going to get 5, 10, 15 NBA workouts. And if he plays well in those workouts, he really might move up those boards. And I think that he's the type of guy that shows really well in that workout setting. Motor, energy, skill, size, all that different stuff. So, you know, he would only not be at USC if he's in the NBA. But I do think in some ways it's really helped us as we've gone along with it. The first guy that did it was Kurjon Kuch. And
Of
course, he was for 4 years. And he graduated. He did everything we asked him to do. He was just the best kid in the world. And it was the first one, though, and it stung, you know, where he's like, hey, I'm going to use my COVID year and go in the portals of grad transfer. He went to Temple, and he started. And you know, that was the hardest. It's like, man, if we had Coor, like, we'll probably win the championship. You know, then Dalton did it, and now Saint, and really DeJure as well. But, you know, with a guy like Saint, a guy like Dalton, they get to those highest levels, I do think it can help your program too, because, you know, we're chasing kids that maybe could be the next, you know, version of that, where it's like, hey, look, you know, you're at a high level or similar level, whatever it is, look what we've been able to do with these guys in their, you know, 1-2 years with us. Not as many guys right now that's like, hey, here's the 5-year plan. There's a couple, but the majority of it's like, hey, you know, we're going to have you for 1 or 2 or 3 years. You know, how do we really attack that? And so I think it's helped us as well, but it still stings. But, you know, I was happy for Saint when he got his decision, because I know it's stressful and all the calls and stuff that these guys get. So, yeah, you just got to look at the bright side of it.
Well, and Coach, it's got to be one of those tough things, too, because the better a player, and this is happening all over the country, but if you have a guy that comes in that maybe we're not talking about enough and we don't really know this guy, and then suddenly 8-9 games in, whoa, he's averaging, you know, yep, he's getting up there in the 20s, he's rocking and rolling. Is there a part in the back of your head during season where it's like, oh, this guy's really good, I hope we can keep him?
Oh, 100%. I'm more so thinking we probably can't keep him. And, you know, the rule changed at Christmas. Like, the same Saint and Marcel McCreary were really the two guys coming into the last year. They were like, oh, we'll keep him because the rule says you can only transfer once as an undergrad and not sit out. Well, that rule changed at Christmas when all those lawsuits came in. And one of the guys was the former Montana State kid, Raekwon Battle, who's West Virginia. Big lawsuit. And, you know, the NCAA granted immediate eligibility to all those kids nationwide, and then it just got passed, you know, fairly recently as a full-time rule. So the point being that we thought Saint, because he, you know, had a year left and was not going to be a grad transfer, that he was going to be here for 2 years, and then the rule changed. The second that rule changed, we're like, this guy's averaging 20, 10, and 5. And I don't think we're going to be able to hold on to him. Obviously, you try, and there's a reason for him to stay, and there's a lot of good, valid reasons to stay. But you also know, realistically, in the culture today of everyone being curious about the portal, you're probably going to hop in. And once these kids get in the portal, it gets pretty wild for the good ones.
Do you think, Coach, that, I mean, again, I know the Dalton Connect story is a big one, and a lot of people are going to point to that and see what the success he had. But do you think that we'll start seeing that maybe the grass isn't greener, always greener on the other side, and you might see the transfer portal craze slow down in the next couple of years?
You could. You know, you got the portal part of it. You got the financial part of it, the NIL part of it, right? Which that's, you know, again, at those highest levels, the amount of money that's being thrown around. And, you know, maybe that slows down when whatever it is, donors or whatever, start saying, wait a second, this is crazy. But I don't know. I mean, it could be that. But, you know, for us, our guys that have moved on have been good players, and they have produced. So I think that, you know, internally, you know, kids that are playing well at UNC, if they're thinking about going to the portal, they're seeing great success stories, right? So it almost fuels them in the sense of saying, man, look what Dalton did. Even look what, you know, Coor was a starter at Temple. Look what Coor did. Look what Dalton did. And now Saint is, you know, he really, you know, in some of those rankings was between the number one and number five ranked transfer player in the country before he signed at USC. So I do think kids look at two and say, man, like, well, maybe that can be me. So I don't know where this thing goes in a couple of years, but it's gonna be very fluid.
UNC head coach Steve Smiley joining us. Well, Coach, let's talk about some of these big names coming in. I had a lot of Bears fans texting me, you know, already kind of knowing about a lot of these guys. So let's talk about some of the guys you've picked up in the transfer portal and just on the recruiting side, too.
Well, I think, too, just, you know, obviously the portal's still open. So I'm still fingers crossed that the remaining roster, you know, the returning roster stays the way it is, because I think we have some great players coming back. And so, again, I'm knocking on wood here, and you know, just hoping that nothing happens over the next really week, because I think Wednesday, May 1st, is the last day for a kid to get in the portal. But you know, as of right now, four of our top eight guys are back. You know, in the sense of Jaron Riley, Brock Wisney, Langston Reynolds, Zach Block, and those guys helped us win a lot of games. Those are good players, and so you got that, and then you got, you know, Marcel McCreary, who I think is going to take a big step. He proved himself in that CBI tournament. That's one of the reasons we did it. But against Cleveland State, Marcel had, you know, 10 points, 5 rebounds, a couple great assists. And to do that after not getting any minutes for a full season, that was unbelievable. And our young kid, Egan Shields, who redshirted, people are going to be very, very shocked at how good this kid is. So point being that I think we've got a nice returning mix to start with, a good core, maybe as good of a core as any team in the league coming back. Now that Eastern Washington's would have been very impressive, but, you know, their coach got the Washington State job, and so they just completely imploded that roster. So I feel good about our returns, but then the guys coming in, and we still have a lot of work to do, but you know, we've signed multiple kids, you know, starting with, you know, in league, you know, Quinn Danker, who was, in my opinion, you know, the best player at Idaho. And I was kind of surprised he wasn't an all-league guy. And I think that was just a reflection that they didn't win a lot of games. But, you know, Quinn was a top 15 scorer in the league, and he was a top he was actually the seventh leading assist guy in the league. So as of right now, Jaron will be the leading returning assist guy. And then I think it's Brandon Whitney from Montana. And then it's Quinn. So we have two of the top three leading assist guys in the league. And I think he's a really good player. He gave us 23, you know, at our place. And I just think he's good. We were ecstatic to get him. Yeah.
Well, and Coach, I'm sorry to cut you off there too, but I was just thinking about that game. What was that, late February?
Yeah.
I mean, he was scoring, he was passing, he was getting boards. Oh, yeah. I mean, he was everywhere.
And he's just a winner. He's been a winner everywhere he's been at. It was not easy to get his commitment. A lot of schools are chasing him around, especially with his stats and stuff. You know, higher level schools, and so we got very fortunate to get him. I think he just really enjoyed the vision of it. And I think for him, looking at it like, okay, you know, DeJure Reeves left, and DeJure can kind of play on the ball and off the ball and score the ball and pass the ball. I think that's the way that he sees it, and I think that's the way that we see it. And so that was great. And then, you know, Tayshaun Jackson was the first kid that we signed. Tayshaun's a local kid in the sense that he's from Denver, but he went to a prep school after his senior year. That was the COVID year. Went to a place called SoCal Academy, which produces a ton of Division I players. And then he went to VMI, which Virginia Military Institute's in the SoCon, which is a, you know, it's like a top 10, top 12 league in the country. It's a great league. It's the same league that Jaron really came from, Samford. And, you know, Tayshaun averaged 11 points, 11 rebounds a game, one of the few kids in the country to get a double-double. And he's a 6'5 wing. He's not a big. He's just super athletic, aggressive, rebounds it. You can play him on the ball, off the ball. He can come off a ball screen. He's really good. I mean, I think he's a really good player. And so, you know, again, we feel like we got pretty fortunate to get him. The Division I transfers that produce and have stats, those kids are so hard to get. And so get those two guys big time, and then getting our kid from Europe, Victor Lukic-Gavrich, I think we got very fortunate to get him. You know, if you go back to last summer, he played in what's called the European U18 A's. So there's the A's and the B's. The top countries are in the A's, and then the B's are the, you know, lower-ranked countries. But played for Sweden, and he was the second-leading scorer in the entire thing, which is really, really impressive. And I know it's kind of hard to translate the European stuff for our local fans, but the type of kid that we had no chance to get 6 months ago, and then as the cards fell and this and that, we kind of got involved late, and then it just kind of broke right for us. So we got Victor, and then local kid, Hunter Caldwell, that I'm super high in Hunter. You know, he's so young. He's 17 years old, and he's a 6'10", skilled, pick pop five, and he works so hard at his game. So, you know, we got to develop him and keep working on his game. He's not like a senior in college. I mean, he's a traditional high school kid. But, you know, starting with those four guys, you know, now we're up to 11 out of 16, and we're close on a couple other ones, but we love where we're at right now. We just got to get a couple more to kind of finalize the roster out. But we're in a good spot.
Well, you know, seeing these names and kind of learning a little bit about them, too. I mean, and Coach, I think, you know, speaking for all Bears fans out there, you've given them a lot of confidence. When we see names that maybe we're not familiar with or maybe we are, we know, hey, those are going to be good players. So
yeah.
I'm excited about this group. Hey, Coach, I got about 3 minutes here. I want to talk about your upcoming camps. But before I do that, just got a quick question on our text line. I'm assuming nothing's changed. I just want to ask if all your coaches on your staff are coming back next season.
Still knocking on wood. You know, there's no transfer portal for the coaches. they could technically leave at any point in time, but now everyone's sitting in their offices right across from me right now, and I don't anticipate losing anybody. I think that we're all back and ready to rock and roll. Every spring, especially when you win, you know, there's always opportunity. A lot of our coaches could leave for, you know, bigger paydays and things like that. So I'm very fortunate that they're here. I think I have the best staff in the league, but I think we'll all be back.
A lot of great guys, too. Coach, coming up this summer, you've got your player development camp, your shooting and scoring camp.
Yep.
Starting up in June. Talk to us a little bit about that. Who's it for? How can they register?
Yeah, no, it's very simple, and I'm glad you brought that up. You know, registration-wise, stevesmileybasketballcamps.com. It's all one word, stevesmileybasketballcamps.com, or we've got all the camp information on our uncbears.com website, too. We've got a PDF flyer. We've got a, you know, you can register online. You can send a check-in. But yeah, the player development camp, they're all coming up in early June, so just over a month away. June 3 through 5 is player development, and then shooting and scoring, which is similar but has a different flow to it, is June 10 to 12. So, yeah, for people that are interested, typical ages, I'd say, you know, definitely K to 8. We will have some high school kids in there as well. Open to boys and girls. And I think it's just awesome. I mean, we usually max it out. We have just over 100 kids at each camp, and they're growing. And our staff, the best thing about it, if I'm trying to sell these things, is one, the price point's good. It's affordable compared to some of the stuff out there. But then, two, our staff and our players, we're the ones working it. So they're going to be around our guys. Obviously, you know, getting around our players is what the kids love. And our staff's out there, so you're getting real development, instruction, things like that. We're going to work in the skills. We're going to play. We're going to have a good time. Coach Dorian Green is going to run the camp concession, as always. It's just going to be a good time, man. So, yeah, that's kind of what it is. But we'd love to have people out. It's in the main arena, the Bank Colorado Arena, out here at UNC. And for those that are interested, stevesmileybasketballcamps.com or uncbears.com. Go to our men's basketball site and click on camps.
I'll be talking about it too, Coach. And, you know, I think that's a heck of an opportunity to be around you, your coaching staff, and these players too. It's very cool. So I love these camps for so many reasons. So we're just happy that you guys do this every single year.
Absolutely, Brady. I appreciate it. I appreciate you letting me talk about it. And shoot, it's always good just to hop on here and talk Bears basketball.
Anytime, my friend. We love catching up with you. And, hey, it's still a late game on Thursday for the Nuggets, so just be ready. I mean, we'll give you
ready.
A pass again, Coach, because of who you are. But
I'll be ready. I'll be ready. You know, the family's out of town, and so I'll be at the house by myself. So I'm locked in.
All right, Coach. Always appreciate you, man. You're one of the good ones. We'll talk to
Thanks,
you soon.
Man. Okay, see you, Brady.
All right, bye-bye. Steve Smiley. There it is. StevesmileyBasketballCamps.com. He's awesome. I love that guy. And I'm excited about these names, Angel. And Smiley has given us the confidence now. I know we got a break. Where you see a name and you go, he's probably going to be good because they keep finding these dudes. So we'll see what next year brings. 11:53 the time. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Podcasts are available at 1310kfk.com.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310KFKA.
Well, that was a fast hour, Angel. All right, more Nuggets Lakers talk. There's a lot more to unpack from that game. Also, what are the Avs going to do? And maybe I overreacted to Zach Wilson yesterday. We'll talk about that. And maybe Sean Payton's just the man to get this guy back on track. Top story of the day coming up next.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one, member FDIC.